Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. When I was a child, I spent a week every summer at Aurora Bible Camp, just outside of Thunder Bay. It was a wonderful mix of Bible teaching, crafts, sports, fellowship, campfires, and all manner of fun. We lived in cabins that housed 8 campers, a counselor, and an assistant counselor. And every morning when we were engaged in the Bible lessons, the dean of the camp and the camp nurse would go around to all of the cabins for an inspection tour. And at lunch, one cabin would be the proud recipient of a little banner that proclaimed, "Cleanliness is next to godliness." The first part of today's text talks about what defiles a person. In other words, what makes a person ritually unclean? That's not even a question that gets raised in most Christian circles today. So in order to even understand the question, we need to look a little at the instructions of the Hebrew scriptures that are called purity laws. The book of Leviticus addresses itself to the question of what makes a person unclean. We remember that people with leprosy were required to shout to anyone who was approaching, "Unclean, unclean," as a warning not to approach. Jewish dietary laws identified some animals as clean and therefore fit to eat, and others as unclean and therefore prohibited. Jews were unclean after coming into contact with a dead body, and both their bodies and their clothing needed to be washed before they could be considered clean again. Now, while we tend to view Leviticus as a compilation of unnecessary and tedious rules, and sometimes even wonder why God would give such a comprehensive law, modern science actually verifies many of the practices of this law. Pigs tended to carry trichinosis. And in those days, without proper preserving methods and refrigeration and all of that kind of stuff, a prohibition against eating pork made sense. The banishment of people with leprosy, while sounding extremely cruel to us today, made sense from the perspective of reducing the spread of a contagious disease. We recently have experienced that with COVID. You have COVID, self-isolate. Do not run around the community spreading it. And up until the advent of modern clothes washing machines, for generations, people have burned clothing that was considered to be contaminated by some disease. We think in the face of smallpox in generations past, somebody died of smallpox, big bonfire. So God was interested in keeping the people healthy. But there was also an aspect of purity in one's relationship with God. And physical cleanliness was required before one could approach God. Moses bathed Aaron and his sons before their ordination to the priesthood. Jews were required to attend a ritual bath called a mikveh before going to the temple. And to this day, Orthodox Jews make use of the mikveh as a symbol of spiritual cleansing. Cleanliness was and still is considered next to godliness. We see this concept in our own liturgy, in the ablutions that the priest performs before the consecration of the Eucharist. In today's text, the concept of uncleanness is looked at from two different perspectives. In the first part of our text, Jesus tells his disciples that they are focusing on the wrong things, that God is less interested in the physical expression of the purity laws and more interested in the heart of the person. The ancient laws served a practical function of protecting the person and the community, but they were also expressive of a people willing to live in obedience to God, trusting that God's laws shape the best possible human experience. The laws were good, but today's text emphasized that the laws lose their value and spiritual significance if they are physically performed by a person whose heart is simply not turned towards God. Jesus said that what matters, it's what's in the heart, and that the heart is the source of our behaviors, good or bad. He was encouraging the disciples to search their own hearts. And then there's the other part of the text that helps us to reflect on clean and unclean, the story of the Canaanite woman. Jesus went to the area of Tyre and Sidon. I'm sure his disciples were wondering what on earth he was going there for. Tyre and Sidon were Gentile cities, historically noted for their ungodliness and unrepentant attitudes, and the object of prophetic judgment. And then Jesus meets a woman who already has three strikes against her. She's female in a culture where women were not seen equally. She's a despised Canaanite, and she has a daughter who is demon-possessed. Somehow, she has heard of Jesus and heard that he is both powerful against disease and demons, and that he is merciful. She identifies him as Lord and shouts, "Have mercy on me, my daughter has a demon." Jesus' response starts out both confusing and rather disturbing. First, he rather uncharacteristically simply ignores the woman. Then he tells his disciples, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." He seems to be affirming their instinct to just send the woman away. But the woman is humble and persistent. She kneels before Jesus and says, "Lord, help me. Her daughter's need is great, and she has nowhere else to go." Jesus' next comment really shocks us. "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Is he really calling this woman a dog? But instead of being offended and just going away, the woman steps into the analogy and says, "Even the dogs get the crumbs." She has enough faith to know that all she needs is a crumb from Jesus, and that will be enough to save her daughter. Her faith, humility, and persistence are rewarded, and her daughter is healed. Jesus teaches his disciples about where defilement really comes from. And then he has this encounter with a woman who, by the standards of both the Pharisees and his disciples, would have been considered unclean. Jesus' initial statement would have affirmed the perspectives and prejudices that the disciples would have grown up with, that a true prophet would only consider the well-being and needs of the Jews, and that other races could be considered subhuman, dogs. But Jesus' ultimate healing of the woman's daughter taught his disciples that God's mercy flows far beyond the considerations of who they think is clean and unclean. That Jesus knows our hearts and looks at our hearts. And in the same way, he had looked at the heart of this Canaanite woman and saw humility and great faith. In the first part of the text, we're told that the Pharisees were offended. And I'm pretty sure that they were offended because they knew that Jesus' statement about defilement of the heart was pointing to the hardness of their own hearts. In the second part of the text, Jesus' actions confront the hearts of the disciples who still didn't understand the wideness of God's mercy. There's a song by Eddie Espinoza that's been around for a while that speaks of our need for a change of heart. Change my heart, O God, make it ever new. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Implicit in these lyrics is the confession that our hearts are not always right. Sometimes we get caught up in looking good instead of being good. We behave well, but in our hearts and minds are things like envy or greed or disdain. We behave politely and carefully hide whatever prejudices we might have. We haven't quite come to the place where we see the world with Jesus' eyes and live out the mercy which is wide beyond anything we can imagine. Paul had an even deeper understanding of this human dilemma. The things I want to do, I don't. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the answer, according to today's text, lies in the heart. No wonder David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." A prayer that maybe we all need to be praying from time to time. Like the cabin of my childhood that needed to be cleaned every day, our hearts and our lives are in constant need of cleansing and renewal. And God's word of grace is that forgiveness and mercy are new every morning and afternoon and evening and as often as we need it. Let's learn from the faith of the Canaanite woman. Let's learn her humility and faith and persistence in seeking from Jesus the things that we need, not just the blessings of life in this world, but those renovations of the heart that may be required for each of us. And let's learn from Jesus that his mercy comes not only to us, but that we can share it in every human encounter. Amen.